Welcome to Hear Me Out. I'm your host, Celeste Headlee. Memorial Day is a study of contradictions for many Americans. It's the beginning of the summer season, and a three-day weekend is a time for many of us to go out on the water, to have a barbecue. But for the many thousands of Americans who've lost a loved one to war, it can be a difficult day, one they want to dedicate solemnly to those they've lost. This country has a complicated relationship with veterans, living and deceased. So on Memorial Day, or any other day, should we thank vets for their service or call them heroes?
All of that kind of stuff is free and easy patriotism. It's cheap.
Writer and veteran Lucian Truscott joins us on Hear Me Out in just a moment. Stay with us.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Hi, this is Dahlia Lithwick, host of Slate's legal podcast, Amicus. If you're listening to this show, you might be interested in Amicus's live show that we're hosting in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday, May the 14th. My colleague, Mark Joseph Stern, and I will be talking to some amazing guests, including Sherrilyn Ifill and a sitting state Supreme Court justice, all about how originalism, a relatively recently invented way of interpreting the Constitution, has taken over the Supreme Court and radically reshaped the law. It's been doctrinal rocket fuel for the conservative legal movement and facilitated the rolling back of abortion rights, the expansion of gun rights, and the obliteration of the separation of church and state. And as another wildly consequential Supreme Court term careers to its end, the court's originalists are on a tear. But there's something you can do about it, and we hope you'll join us in D.C. on May 14th to explore the possible pathways out of the current situation. Go to slate.com/amicuslive for tickets.
Just a heads up, this interview includes discussion of suicide. Listener discretion is advised. If you or a loved one needs support, help is always available at the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. You can call and text 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 988. Veterans can access specialized resources at veteranscrisisline.net. And we're back on Hear Me Out, a podcast from Slate. I'm Celeste Headlee. Memorial Day can be a difficult holiday for many veterans. For one thing, the holiday ends up feeling celebratory in an odd way for most Americans, not because of the subject matter, but because of its placement in the year. It's the first long weekend of summer. And so the baseball games and frisbee and poolside barbecues can feel a little jarring to many thousands of Americans who have lost a loved one to war. And remember, Memorial Day is not strictly intended to be a holiday for living veterans. We're told often that the moral and patriotic way to celebrate Memorial Day is still to thank veterans for their service. Whether it's Memorial Day or not, thank you for your service is a loaded phrase for many in the military community. Some people feel awkward when they are thanked. Some, like our guest today, don't want to be thanked at all. Lucian Truscott IV is a writer and third-generation veteran and joins us now. Welcome.
Hi.
So for those who have not heard of you, Lucian, or read any of your novels, can you tell us what you do? Who are you?
Well, I'm a writer. I mean, I've been a writer for 55 years or something now. And I write a Substack right now called the Lucian Truscott Newsletter. You can log on to my Substack later today and read it.
You also come from a long line of veterans and went to the U.S. Military Academy, and many people may have know your book, Dress Grey, or maybe they've seen the movie as well. You're not bragging enough for me, so I want to fill that out for all the people who,
you know, I mean, you're, you know, the family you're born into, and it's just a matter of luck, you know? I could have been born a Smith, I guess.
Except you're also a descendant of Thomas Jefferson and invited the descendants of Sally Hemings to the family reunion in 2000, something that had never been done before. So, you know, you're born into a family, but then you decide what to do with that ancestry, right?
But, you know, from there, what you do with it is up to you. And the way that I was raised by my mother and father and by my grandparents was my grandfather went from being a lieutenant to being a four-star general and commanded the 3rd Infantry Division, the 6th Corps, and 2 armies in World War II. So I do come from quite a long military history. And I've had kind of a rocky relationship with the military over the years. I was not very popular with the leadership at West Point when I was there because me and three other guys opposed the regulation that they had requiring attendance at church back then.
And wrote about heroin addiction among young soldiers.
Yeah, I also, you know, exposed the fact that the Army had a 15% heroin addiction rate in 1969 and 70, and I got kicked out of the Army for doing that. So I'm not your typical West Point graduate, and I'm not your typical veteran, but I am who I am, and you got me.
Well, then let's get to your opinion that you have, and you have written about this before. In one piece, the headline was, "Please Stop Thanking Me for My Service." And, you know, I was engaged to a serviceman in the Army for a very long time, and I have heard this before from veterans. Can you explain why you advise people to stop saying this so familiar thing, thank you for your service?
Well, I think it's cheap. You know, there are so many people in the United States now that just have no connection to the military at all. Back when I was in the Army in the 60s and the 70s, 70% of the American populace had some connection to the military through either they'd served themselves or they had a relative who served, a grandmother or grandfather or uncle or aunt, or they knew somebody on their block or a teacher that they had served. Now I think that number has dropped to something like 30%. And only about 1% of the American public now serves on active duty. So, you know, in my generation, 9 million people came of age and served in the military during the 10 years of the Vietnam War. That's a lot of people. And so the people who haven't served, I think, are nervous around veterans. I don't know what the problem is. Maybe they feel guilty that they didn't volunteer or something like that. I'm not really sure. But saying thank you for your service on sort of auto-select, I just think is a cheap way of thanking someone for their service. I mean, the way, if you want to thank somebody for their service, the way to do it is voting some politicians that'll take care of veterans and increase the military defense budget that'll help keep soldiers alive when they fight in wars and increase the budget of the VA, the Veterans Administration. You know, if people want to thank veterans for their service, that's the way you thank a veteran for his service.
Let me jump in here real quick, because I know that one of my family members who had lived through the Vietnam era made a point of saying thank you for your service every time, because she said she remembered a period of time when America treated its veterans very badly. And she wanted to make sure that every veteran that she saw or service member still in service knew that she had positive feelings toward them, that she supported them. What's your response to that framing of it?
That's an individual choice. You know, I don't have any problem with it. I was in a car dealership the other day buying a part for my car, and the guy saw my cap that I was wearing with an Army A on it and said, "Oh, you're a veteran. Thank you for your service. We're going to give you 10% off." So, you know, I'll take that any day. I just think that it's become reflexive. If they see a military, you know, insignia that you've got clipped to your lapel, or, you know, a hat like I wear with an Army A on it, people just sort of reflexively say, "Thank you for your service." I would much rather hear a lot less "thank you for your service" and see a lot more voting for people that will get into office and support the Veterans Administration and do something about the homeless veteran problem. and put some federal funding in to help deal with the problem of veterans' suicides. My own brother, who's a veteran of Vietnam, committed suicide. When his wife called me up, my sister-in-law called me up to tell me the day that he did it, what she said to me on the phone was this. She said, "Lucian, the war finally got him." And, not enough people even know that that is a problem with veterans. And it's not just veterans of Vietnam. It's now veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan and the other conflicts that we've been involved in, including the service in Somalia and the few people that we've got in Syria. These wars are terrible things. I mean, they damage you. And it's hard to be in a war or even go to a war, cover a war like I have done, without being really significantly altered. And not in a good way a lot of times. It wasn't in a good way for my brother. He killed himself. That's what you can do to thank someone for their service, is volunteer on a suicide hotline or donate some money to a nonprofit that helps veterans or something like that.
There was a movie called Thank You for Your Service that came out in, I think, like 2017, that showed the experience that many soldiers had reintegrating into civilian life. And they displayed a number of service members having different reactions when they were thanked for their service. But I think many civilians feel as though they want to at least acknowledge somebody's sacrifice. It's possible that people are doing that because they want soldiers to feel seen and acknowledged.
Yeah. I mean, if people feel that way and they want to thank soldiers and they see them in a supermarket or car dealership like I just, it's a nice thing to do. You said before that there was a time when veterans weren't treated very nicely. I have a sort of bone to pick with that. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of mythology about the war in Vietnam and Vietnam veterans that really is bunk. The idea that veterans were spit on when they came back from Vietnam and airports and all that stuff. People have written whole books to say that that didn't happen. It just didn't happen.
Okay, you're blowing my mind here. I definitely have to dig into this, but we have to take a break first. So we will get back to this in just a moment for sure. You are listening to Hear Me Out. It's a podcast from Slate. I'm Celeste Headlee, and we are speaking with Lucian Truscott IV about whether or not you should say thank you for your service. You will hear more after a break.
Hi, I'm Josh Levine. My podcast, The Queen, tells the story of Linda Taylor. She was a con artist, a kidnapper, and maybe even a murderer. She was also given the title The Welfare Queen, and her story was used by Ronald Reagan to justify slashing aid to the poor. Now, it's time to hear her real story. Over the course of 4 episodes, you'll find out what was done to Linda Taylor, what she did to others, and what was done in her name.
The great lesson of this, for me, is that people will come to their own conclusions based on what their prejudices are.
Subscribe to The Queen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now.
Okay, we're back. This is Hear Me Out. And today, the person we're hearing out is Lucian Truscott IV, who is a third-generation veteran. And he says we should really stop saying thank you for your service. But before we went to break, you said, and I was not alive during this time that you're talking about, but I have heard my whole life that when Vietnam veterans came home, they were spit on. They were attacked verbally and sometimes physically by civilians. You're saying that's not necessarily true.
It's bunk, First of all, a lot of veterans came home and they came home in uniform on chartered planes. And they got off the plane, like 150 or 200 of them would get off the plane and walk through an airport. Now, can you imagine somebody coming up to a long line of uniformed soldiers walking through an airport and picking one out and spitting on them? I mean, this is a myth that has persisted the entire time I've been an adult, and it's garbage. I've never met a veteran that got spit on. There's been plenty of stuff written about it to kind of demythologize that, but it was true. What happened with Vietnam veterans was they never had victory parades and all that kind of stuff because, by the way, we lost the war in Vietnam. You don't have a victory parade for a war that you lose. So veterans came back and they didn't really feel like their communities acknowledged them and so forth because, you know, frankly, the communities had gone through a lot of communities had gone through a lot of hell about the draft and people's kids being drafted and sent to Vietnam, and they weren't in any mood to be welcoming veterans back, but they didn't spit on them. Now later, people sort of picked up the flag of the Vietnam veteran and started being appreciative of Vietnam veterans and what had happened to them because they didn't ask. There were a lot of draftees in that war. They didn't ask to go over there. They got drafted and sent over there against their will. So when people started realizing that veterans, there were plenty of veterans that were anti-war. While they served in Vietnam, they were against the war. So when people started realizing that, the attitude about Vietnam veterans changed. And then that was when the thank you for your service first began. Now, I think it was back in the 80s that sort of thing began. Being a veteran isn't an easy thing, and being a person that encounters a veteran is not necessarily an easy thing because, you know, people feel nervous. Like, I didn't serve in the Army, so I'm kind of nervous around this guy that did, you know. And I've never really understood why that is. I mean, nowadays it's a choice. You know, my son is in ROTC and he'll be commissioned as a second lieutenant in December. But he chose to go into ROTC and he's chosen to go into the Army, you know. It's a choice. I mean, it's like anything else you do. It's a job that you apply for and get and then you have the job. So I think that, you know, the sort of, I don't know, the glow around veterans sort of needs to be turned down a little bit.
Okay, wait, hold on one second. I got to stop you here for just a second because it sounds like you're edging into territory saying that we give too much idolization, that we put soldiers on a pedestal.
Yeah. Yeah. And it shouldn't happen. You know, when I was in the Army, I knew a lot of doofus, worthless officers and a lot of doofus soldiers. You know, not everybody that wore the uniform is a god. You know, they're not. And everybody that went to Vietnam or all the things that the politicians nowadays say, I want to welcome our heroes that are here today who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. What are those people saying? You know, the fact that you went to Iraq or Afghanistan doesn't make you a hero. You know, the guys that are heroes got silver stars or bronze stars, but everybody else just went and served. And I think that the glow around veterans ought to be turned down. You can, it is possible to serve and make a great sacrifice. People get wounded. People have been killed. And the families miss the people that are killed. And, you know, that's a sacrifice. But just going into the Army or going into the Navy or the Air Force and serving 6 years or 4 years or whatever you serve and getting out, I don't think you ought to get a great big huge merit badge. You know, there are people that during the 6 years that you might serve in the Army right now are working down at an arsenal somewhere in the South making artillery shells to send to Afghanistan right now. Well, I think that's pretty heroic, you know, working in a damn ammunition factory where at any minute, if a spark goes off, the whole place can explode. And in fact, down in Texas, one of them did explode recently. So that's pretty heroic. Maybe we ought to thank all of the ammunition manufacturers for their service. You get what I'm saying here?
I do, but I got to say, this is going to strike a lot of people as as upsetting. You know, we have football games where they thank soldiers for their service and the jets fly over. And we have, you know, demonstrations and marches and flags flying to thank veterans and soldiers for their service at the beginning of so many different events. And that's considered a part of patriotism. Are you knocking people's love for their country when you try to take away?
No. Okay. No, I'm not doing that. I mean, come on, you know. And I would just say to you, if what I just said is upsetting, that's that. I'm not in the business of making people happy. If I have an opinion that's upsetting to someone, well, then it's upsetting. I mean, I've upset a lot of people over the years. When I took the Sally Hemings descendants to Monticello, I got well over 100 death threats from racist and right-wing idiots. So I've been upsetting people for my entire life. And to be frank with you, I don't care if it upsets them. I want people to think before they reflexively stand up at a football game and say thank you to your service because they're, you know, marching the colors on the field or something. All of that kind of stuff is like what I would call free and easy patriotism. You know, I said it before, it's cheap. And, you know, if people really want to thank veterans for their service, then they ought to do the things that I said before. Support politicians that'll actually do something about the Veterans Administration and actually fund some programs to help veterans who are having trouble dealing with PTSD and might commit suicide. That's patriotic. Supporting that kind of stuff. Standing up and waving your hand or taking your hat off while they play the national anthem and thank the veterans for their service. That's, you know, that's easy. I think people ought to do the hard stuff.
I remember hearing one veteran tell me that when somebody said to him, thank you for the service, it made him a little angry. Like he felt as though the people who were saying that A, didn't really mean it. It made him feel a little bit as though they were putting emotional work on him. And it also, he said he felt as though if he didn't react with gratitude toward them when they said it to him, that he got an adverse reaction. And I guess I wonder if you can explain why there is so much, why that phrase, thank you for the service, seems to call up so much emotion among many veterans. I mean, there are some who like to be thanked, I'm sure. But of the people I've spoken to and the articles I've read, they're, for something that is said often so casually, it seems to involve a lot of emotional reactions from veterans.
Well, you're exactly right. And the reason that some veterans resent it is because they understand how easy and flip it is to just go, oh, thank you for your service. And moving on, you know, veterans would rather that you do something. You know, yeah. Veterans would rather that you, I sound like a broken record saying, vote for some politicians that'll actually do something to help veterans. That would be a good thing. But just saying thank you for your service sort of puts the veteran on a spot. Like now the veteran has to say, oh, well, thank you for thanking me. It rings hollow to a lot of veterans. That's what the problem is. It just rings hollow. And a lot of veterans would just as soon not have to say, oh, well, thank you for thanking me for my service, you know?
Is there something better to say to a veteran?
You know, stand up at the Memorial Day parade and wave the flag and, you know, but, I don't know. It's like I said before, there's nothing wrong with saying it, but I think that people ought to think before they sort of blithely and automatically say, thank you for your service because you saw, a cap, a military cap or something. I mean, I'll go back to the analogy I made with the people that work in the ammunition factories or in the tank factories or in the Humvee factories or whatever. I mean, shouldn't we be thanking them for this service too? You know, as I said before, I just think there's this glow around the idea of being a veteran that is nice. But, you know, there ought to be a glow around serving as a nurse. Why aren't we thanking nurses for their service? I just think that this stuff has become too automatic and too blithe and too handy and too inexpensive, as I said before.
So I will, before we end, I will assume that one thing you can do to thank a veteran is give them a 10% discount.
Yes. Sure, give them a 10% discount. That's always nice.
Lucien, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Bye. Thank you.
Bye. So I know that many of you will have a lot of thoughts about the conversation I just had with Lucien, because he kind of busted up a lot of sort of sacred values for a lot of Americans. And I know that saying thank you for your service, it comes very easily out of people's mouths. And so I absolutely respect what he said. And because I have heard this before for some other veterans, I've gotten into the habit of not saying that. But I also understand the impulse to say it. I don't know, I'm torn on this. Like, what could replace that, that would make those who volunteer to serve feel as though they are seen and appreciated and supported, in addition to all the things he was talking about? I don't know, I'm torn. I know we have a lot of veterans, service members, and family members of veterans and service members listening. And I'd love to know how you feel. What do you think about this? If you are a veteran or currently serving, how does it feel when somebody says thank you for your service? You can email us. It's hearmeout@slate.com. Many of you have done that already. We want to share a letter that we got from Lizzie, and it was about our episode last week where Gio Mar argued that policing should be abolished entirely. So Lizzie wrote this: I appreciate the opportunity your show gives me to expand my exposure to all views. Your episode on policing had me both nodding along and questioning some of my own views and beliefs. I feel policing reform is possible, and I believe one way to transform modern policing in America effectively is to peel off duties that other agencies are better suited to administer. Policing behavior does not always require a police officer. Shifting the funds and duties from policing to these resources could be the solution we are seeking. Lizzie, thank you so much for writing. And frankly, hearing somebody say your episode had me questioning some of my own views and beliefs, that is music to my ears and the music to the ears of all of our entire team. We cover a lot of challenging opinions, as you know. And I know you have your own takes, your own opinions, and we want to hear them. So please, email us. It's hearmeout@slate.com. Hear Me Out is a podcast from Slate. The show is produced by Maura Curry. Ben Richmond is the Senior Director of Podcast Operations. And Alicia Montgomery is VP of Slate Audio. I'm your host, Celeste Headley. And until next time, please speak your mind, but keep it open.